Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. I'm sorry, let me check that for sure. It's 25th chapter, chapter 25 in your Scofield Bible, page 690. We'll be reading the first seven verses of this chapter. The second verse is the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read the verses responsively. Once more, Proverbs chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Let's stand, please, as is our custom here, for the reading of the Word of God. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a manner. The heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom thine eyes have seen. And let's pray. Father, do a work now in our hearts. Help us to be hungry for Thee. We pray that our appetite for Thee would be quickened and that Thou wouldst bless with good things through the message, through Thy Word. We need Thee. And the need here ranges from mild, perhaps, to desperate, but everyone here has a need. Satisfy these, our needs, we pray, and use our preacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, where life's blessings are found. My text is that verse read a while ago. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help me to be a help. That's all I want to be. That's all I really ever want to be, is a help. And I pray tonight that you'd help me to be that to these people so we can leave this place and help others, therefore and thereby fulfilling the purpose of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The text tonight is the text, chapter 25 of Proverbs, in verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Let me see if I can paraphrase that. It means God hides His blessings. That's what it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. God hides His blessings. Then when it says the honor of kings is to search out a matter, it means that wise people will search out that which God has hidden. So God hides His blessings, and if you've got any sense, you'll dig it out until you find the blessing that God has hidden. Let me explain. God allows problems to come our way. Don't you think for a single moment that every problem you have is of the devil. It's God allows problems to come our way. Secondly, He hides His blessings. Are you listening? He hides His blessings in those problems. God's blessings are concealed. Trouble is the wrapping with which God wraps His blessings. And so God hides His blessings, and in these problems, I said God allows problems to come our way. I said, secondly, He hides His blessings in these problems. And third, He does not tell us what the blessing is. You will not know what the blessing is until you search and you endure your problem, and in that problem you will find the blessing. God does not give His blessings unless they're wrapped with problems. I said, God allows problems to come our way. I said, God hides His blessings in these problems. I said, God doesn't tell us what the blessing is. Then number four, it is only revealed, listen to me now, the blessing is only revealed when we persevere in the midst of the problems. That means this, That means that problem you're facing tonight has a blessing in it. Listen carefully. That's the only way you'll ever get blessed by God. God does not advertise his blessings. God conceals his blessings. God wants you to work and dig the blessing out, and so God always places his blessings inside a problem. That problem you're facing tonight has a blessing in it. Let me say it again. That thing that you think is the curse of your life tonight, there's a blessing down in there somewhere. And God has placed inside that problem a blessing. Statement number two, that means it is a blessing you will never know if you quit. Quitters don't know blessings. Everybody has problems. Some people face their problems and endure their problems and find in the problem the blessing that God has concealed there. Some people face a problem, quit the problem, and suffer needlessly because they suffer a while and don't get the blessing that God has placed within the problem. Consequently, it is a blessing you will never receive if you quit. Next statement. It's a blessing you will never know without a problem. What you want is a life of ease. If you have a life of ease, you'll never have blessings. What you want is fair weather. Fair weather never brings blessings with it. What you want is always to be sunshine. Clouds bring the blessings. Clouds bring the rain. The rain brings the crop, and the crop brings the food, and the food brings the blessing. I'm saying tonight, if all you want is hail, hail, the gang's all here, a good time, always healthy, always happy, always having fun, you'll never know blessing, because God's blessings are always wrapped inside a problem. I said that problem you're facing has a blessing in it. So thank God for it. You wouldn't get a blessing if you didn't have the problem. I said it's a blessing you will never know if you quit. I said it's a blessing you will never know without a problem. I said blessings are always wrapped in problems. I hesitate to use this illustration, but I think I will. We have four children. We wanted Becky. When she was born, we wanted to have a child. When Dave was born, we wanted to have a child, and we wanted to have a boy. When Linda was born, we wanted to have a baby, but when Cindy came along, we didn't want Cindy. Now, it's nothing personal. We'd never seen you, Cindy. We just did not want another baby, that's all. Brother Hooker, you know how I feel. But we just didn't want another baby. We had one 7, we had one 4, we had one, and then we found out that Cindy was going to come along. Now, we weren't real happy about that. Then God led us here. And just a couple of months, let's see, September, October, November, three months after we got here, Cindy was born. I do not know what we would have done without Cindy. I mean that. What a comfort that child was. And what a comfort she's been all these 35 years that she's been here. The thought that if we'd never had Cindy, absolutely, just horrifies me. I'm saying, wrapped in that problem we thought we had, good night, here we are, three little kids and ones in diapers, and here's another one on the way. But inside that problem was a bundle of joy that has been a comfort to us I could not describe. That isn't all. I say this honestly. I cut up a great deal about this. But with Cindy, there came later on Brother Dr. Jack Scott. And God gave us a son-in-law that's as fine a son-in-law as you'll ever find anywhere in the whole world. And then along with Jack and Cindy, there came Jacqueline, our granddaughter, and then Kenny, our grandson, to think how we could have faced the problems we faced in these years without our lovely daughter. I'm just trying to tell you that a bunch of you folks right now don't want the one that's on the way either. Brother Boardway said this morning, you're going to get it. We were talking this morning after the service, and I said, Brother Boardway, I sure like the outfits you guys have. It was a singing group outfit. I said, by the way, I like those outfits that the ladies are wearing now, too. He said, yeah, we got a problem. He said, one of them is pregnant. That's the curse of singing groups, isn't it, Brother Eddie? One of them is pregnant. And then Brother Ray said, one of them is pregnant. And then he said, it's not Mabel. And I said, hold it a minute. Don't tell me it's... I said, it's not Miss Hiles either, is it? That little unwanted thing can be a precious child like that young lady up there is. And that problem, oh, Brother Hiles, I've got problems. Look down inside. There are blessings hidden down in there. Over the house, I just can't carry the load. Let me tell you, if there is no load, there's no blessing, because God conceals his blessings inside the problem, and God conceals his blessings inside the load. And so when the problems come, just say, thank God, I'm going to hang in there, because a blessing is down in there somewhere. Look at Jacob leaving home, discouraged, defeated. But he kept on going. And there inside that problem was a ladder, with angels ascending and descending that ladder from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. Jacob would never have seen that ladder without his lonely night. For wrapped inside that loneliness, there was a blessing. And wrapped inside your loneliness, there's a blessing. And wrapped inside your burden, there's a blessing. And wrapped inside your heartache, there's a blessing. And wrapped inside your tears, there's a blessing. Think, for example, about Stephen. Stephen faced the problem. He preached the sermon and they hurled stones at him, and Stephen was dying. And there was this problem. But inside that problem, there was Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge, because that's exactly what Jesus had said. But there was Jesus at the right hand of the Father, standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. You don't find him in the sunshine, you find him in the shadows. You don't find him on a mountaintop, you find him in the valley. You show me one place in the entire Bible. Show me one place in the entire Bible where God revealed himself to anybody who was on a mountaintop. You show me one place in the entire Bible where God revealed himself to anybody that were living, basking in the sunlight, a blessing with no problem. Brother, it was when Joshua was facing the battle of Jericho, when the Son of God, the unseen captain, came. It was when Paul was being stoned outside the city of Lystra and was left for dead. He was caught up into the third heaven. It was when John was on the Isle of Patmos that he saw the revelation and the coming blessings of God. He saw the rapture and the tribulation, the marriage of the Lamb, the judgment seat, the revelation of Christ back to earth, the millennium, the new Jerusalem, the golden streets, the gates of pearl. I'm saying it was in the problem that John saw Patmos, and in the problem that Paul saw the third heaven, and in the problem that Stephen saw Jesus at the right hand of God. It was in the problem that Isaiah saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It was in the problem that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the Son of God. It was in the problem. And I want to say tonight, quit grabbing about your problems. Just jump up and down and say, glory to God, there's a blessing inside there somewhere. Life is not a picnic. Life is not an ice cream party. Life is not a constant social. Life is a life of burdens and heartaches. But I want to tell you, if you quit, I just can't go on. The blessing's down there. The blessing is not back there. College students, the blessing's not back home. The blessing is keep on going. The blessing never is behind you. It's always in front of you. God likes to hide his blessings. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God takes that blessing and puts it right down in the middle of a problem and covers that blessing with problems. And a part of the blessing is taking the problem. A part of the blessing is looking back and say, I made it. A part of the blessing is looking back and say, I had to work my way through college, but I did it. A part of the blessing is looking back through the battle and saying, I didn't quit. And down inside that problem and down inside that burden, wise men, kings and royalty and wise men say, it's in there somewhere. This burden is more than I can bear. But down in there somewhere, there's a blessing. And God conceals his blessings in problems and burdens. And wise people say, I'm going to keep on till I find it. We were down in Texas. By the way,
How do you keep on? How do you get this blessing? Two things. By the way, these two things are the way to succeed in anything. Number one, begin. Begin. Start. Number two, don't quit. You just heard the formula for success. Begin. Hardest thing you have to do is begin. We're down in Texas this week. Looked at East Texas Baptist College and the road that led from our apartment. East Texas Baptist, and I recall walking up that road to register in East Texas Baptist College. Folks, I didn't have one dime in my pocket. Not one penny. And I was going up there to register. I walked in. Mr. Etheridge, the vice president of the college, said, "How do you plan to pay your bill?" And I said, "Cash." I didn't have money in the bank. I didn't have a dollar bill. I didn't have a nickel or a dime or a penny. He said, "Well, cash is within 7 days. When do you plan to pay?" I said, "I plan to pay Friday night or Saturday, end of the week." He said, "Why?" I said, "That's payday." He said, "Where do you work?" I said, "I'm going to work tomorrow." He said, "Where?" I said, "I don't know where. But God's going to give me a job." I went up, I saw the steps this week on the county courthouse and knelt there while they took my video of me kneeling there, where I knelt and prayed and begged God for a job. Pointed down to J.C. Penney's store down Washington Street and said, "God," after I'd prayed for 2 or 3 hours, I said, "I want a job right there." I walked down to J.C. Penney's store, walked in the store. Mr. Croft looked like Keith McKinney. Real skinny fella. Looked a lot like you, no joke. Walked up, he waddled up, and he said, "Young man, can I help you?" I said, "Sir, I think I'm going to work here." He said, "What makes you think you're going to work here?" I said, "Because I prayed for 2 or 3 hours up there on the courthouse steps, and I asked God to give me a job at J.C. Penney Company, and I believe God's going to give me one right now." He said, "Just laid off 4 men. Summertime, we did a summer slump. What makes you think I'm going to hire you?" I said, "Because God's going to make you hire me." He said, "You're hired." I said, "I'm not kidding." He said, "Young man, you'll either be the greatest salesman in the history of J.C. Penney Company or the biggest flop in the history of Harrison County, and I'll die if I don't find out which one. And it's none of your business which one it was." I went home. Miss Howell's been praying for me. Promised to pray all day. I came home. I said, "You better sit down." She said, I said, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "You're not going to believe it." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "Sit down." When I say sit down, she always stands up. And I said, "Sit down. You're not going to believe this." She said, "I am." I said, "No, you're not going to believe it." She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "You're not going to believe it." She said, "What is it?" I said, "I got a job." She said, "I don't believe it." But what I'm trying to tell you is the hardest part was enrolling in that college. The hardest part was that walk up North Franklin Street toward East Texas Baptist College. Not a dime in my pocket, but I started. In God's name, start! Begin! You're not going to find the blessing unless you begin! Start! We drove out to that little church where I preached my first sermon, where I sat there as a deacon chairman got up and said, by the way, I had no outline at all. Deacon chairman got up and said, "Our pastor, Brother Boyd, is not here, but he's not left this pulpit vacant." He said, "A young man named Reverend Howells is here to fill the pulpit, and I know all of us are waiting to hear what God has laid on his heart." And I said to myself, "I don't know whether they're waiting to hear what God laid on my heart, but I dead sure am waiting to hear what God laid on my heart." I stepped up to that pulpit. I didn't have an outline. I didn't have an illustration, much like tonight. I didn't have a sermon. But brother, I'd never preached in a church on a Sunday in my life before. And I said, "I am going to do it." Start. Begin. 54,000 sermons ago, I said the way to get the hidden blessing from God, begin and don't quit. Begin and don't quit. We drove out to Grange Hall Baptist Church, and I remember when I walked in that church the first time. Deacon, chairman, and treasurer, and the Sunday school superintendent, all three of them, was midnight, had called me, wanted to see me. They walked down, they sat me down on that front row by myself at midnight, and all three of them stood there. Mr. Roberts, the deacon chairman. Somebody said, Brother Howes, you think the Pope's the Antichrist? No, sir, Mr. Roberts is. They stood up, deacon chairman, treasurer, and Sunday school superintendent. And they said, young man, you've been called by one vote, 27-26, to pastor this church. But no men voted for you, just one lady, Mrs. Lambert, and a bunch of kids, teenagers and kids, voted you in. I am the chairman of the board of deacons, and I own most of the land around here, and most of the people here work for me. This is the treasurer. He won't write you a check. He said, we'll see to it that you'll starve to death. I'd been called a pastor of the First Baptist Church, Leesburg, Texas, by unanimous call. And I said, I don't want to come here, but you know I'm beginning to feel led. The hardest thing I did in that church was walk on that platform the first time and sitting right down there on the front row with those three men making faces at me. And they were up there like that, making faces at me while I preached, and I had to stand up and preach. But I started. Begin and don't quit. We passed the city limit sign of Garland, Texas. Mrs. Howes and our three children at the time, she was carrying Cindy. We stopped at the city limit sign to come to Hammond, Indiana, and I got out of my knees and got on my knees, out of the car and got on my knees beside the city limit sign, looked back at Garland, Texas, the town that we had loved, the town where we had grown up in the ministry. I said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go up north, but I was convinced God led me up here. And brother, I'll tell you what, to get back in that car and put that thing in drive and push on the accelerator was one of the hardest things I ever did. And the hardest thing you'll ever do is to start. But brother, you'll never amount to anything till you start, and you'll never have God's blessing that is hidden in problems till you start. And once you start, bye, Cracky. I mean, amen. And bye, Cracky, too. Don't you quit. There's a blessing down in there. You go around the country. I'm not preaching to Howes Anderson students, but I'm not avoiding them either. You go around the country and find our quitters and see how happy they are. Go around the country and find those little yellow spine quitters. A little girl came, college student, came to my office the other night with a Ray, and she said, I want to know what you think. I'm going to take off a semester, then I'm going to go to another college. Because I'm going to get married. And I said, don't you ask me what I think. You know what I think. If you listen to what I'm saying, you'll hear me say, never, 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 never turn back. There's a blessing in there somewhere. But that blessing is wrapped in a heartache. And that blessing is wrapped in a problem. Paul, giving his life, the pelting of stones outside the city of Lystra, finds wrapped in that martyrdom, stoning, finds wrapped the glories of the third heaven. Stephen dying outside the gate of Jerusalem, what they call Stephen's Gate, being stoned for his stand for the gospel and for God. Stephen keeps on going and keeps on going, and wrapped down inside that burden and that problem is the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Paul on Patmos, lonely, forsaken, he had pastored the great church in Ephesus, the largest church no doubt in all of Asia Minor, the First Baptist Church of Hammond of Asia Minor. And now he's out there on the Isle of Patmos by himself. And what good can I do out here? I'm lonely and I'm defeated, but I won't quit. And John finds himself out there and wrapped in that blessing, or that problem and that heartache of exile was a blessing, and that blessing was seeing the great glories of the revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you ever run from your problems, because your problems are simply the gift wrap that's around the blessing that God has. And if you'll begin and don't quit, you'll find the blessing inside the problem. Years ago, in the building of the Panama Canal, which is a miracle, General, I think his name's pronounced Goethals, was in charge. They had worked on this one section, starting the building of the Panama Canal, and it was a difficult place to dig out. And they dug and they dug, and finally they built that one section. And months of work was in vain because it totally collapsed. Discouragement gripped the hearts of the workers, and somebody ran up as they saw the collapsing of this one section and saw that it was all in vain. They asked General Goethals, "What do we do, General?" And General Goethals said, "Dig it out again. Dig it out again. Has your life collapsed? Dig it out again. Are your burdens more than you can bear? Dig it out again." I told a story at the college the other day I love to tell. One reason, because I knew personally the young man. When I was a young man, Bill Glass was an All-American tackle for Baylor University football team. Bill Glass became a professional player. He played for the Cleveland Browns and I think for the Baltimore Colts. I know he played for the Cleveland Browns. And back in the days where the linemen went two ways, you didn't have an offensive line, defensive line, you played both ways. It's a true story. I knew Bill Glass well. In fact, years ago, he's a preacher, by the way. Years ago, I had him preach for me as a young man in Garland, Texas, came and gave his testimony. Bill Glass is playing in the line, tackle. His team had the ball in the championship game. They were down right close to the goal line. Had time for one more play. They called the play to go over Bill Glass's position. If Bill Glass doesn't block his man, they lose the game and the championship. He blocks his man properly, they win the game and the championship if the running back doesn't fumble or go through the wrong place. Bill Glass lined up. The number was called. The ball was given to the halfback. And Bill Glass flattened his man. I mean, laid him out. A truck could have just gone through the hole that he made. And Bill Glass knew that his block had made it possible. And the running back just run through the hole. Bill Glass knew that it was his block that won the game. And they started cheering. That great crowd of people started cheering, and Bill Glass said, "Boy, oh boy, they're cheering my block." And then up there on the screen, then with every play, the last play, they played the running back dancing through the line. And everybody in that room, Coliseum was cheering the little running back, and my wife could have run through that hole. That's how big it was. I'm sorry. There goes another night. There's a blessing in every problem, right? It's going to take me months to dig that one out, I'll tell you for sure. And Bill Glass was bitter. He thought they were cheering his block because his man was leveled. He knew what caused the game to be won. They put that halfback on the shoulders and carried the halfback off the field. And Bill Glass got bitter. Put his head down, was all running off the field, knowing that he was the guy that should be cheered. Looked up and the coach was looking at him. And the coach did this. "Nice block, Bill."
And Bill Glass said, I don't care what these people think, just to hear my coach say, nice block, Bill. Nobody may know why we won the game, and this great crowd may not know, but the coach knows, and that's all that matters. Years ago, there was a football coach named Lou Little. Lou Little coached at Georgetown University. There was a player on his team, been there for 4 years in college, never played a game. Just a scrub, but he was a good boy, but never had played a game. Not a down. One day the boy's father died. The president of the university came to the coach and said to the coach, would you do me a favor? Would you, Mr. Lou Little, would you go and tell the boy about the death of his father? Just a scrub on the team. Lou Little said, I will. He went to the football player, the scrub, and called him to the side and said, son, I've got some bad news for you. He said, what is it? He said, your father. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me over here. Listen to me. He said, your father just died. He said, now, son, I know your heart's broken. He said, I want you to take a week off. Next day was the big game, the championship game. Doesn't make any difference. The guy was just a scrub, never played it down. But the next morning, he was there. The coach is surprised. He came to the dressing room with tears running down his cheeks and put his uniform on. And the coach said, son, what are you doing here? I gave you the week off. He said, coach, you got to let me play today. You got to let me play. And then Lou Little said, son, you're not a starter. He said, you got to start me. He said, you got to start me today, coach. You got to start me. And the coach said, okay, I'll start you. I'll let you play the kickoff. That's all. That's the start of the game. They kicked the ball down. The boy took the ball and ran it for an amazing gain. He let him play a second play, and the boy went wild. He blocked. He tackled. They won the championship. And everybody there knew it was this scrub that played the whole game for the first time was cause of them winning the championship. When it was all over, Lou Little, the coach, went up and said, son, what in the world happened to you? And this young lad who was a scrub on the football team, who had played his heart out and won the game, he said, coach, my dad died. He said, but what you don't know is my dad was blind. This is the first time he ever saw me play. I want to keep going because my Savior is watching me. He's watching every move I make. Sure, I'd like to quit sometimes, but I can't quit. Why? I don't know why. Because the coach is watching me. I pastor a lot of people. I counsel with a lot of people. These shoulders catch the tears of many people a week. I go home sometimes at night and I can barely make it to bed because of the burdens I'm carrying. Not mine, but yours. I know what you hurt. I know how you're hurt. I know that there's cancer down there. I've been worried about Brother Roy. Brother Roy's had a little problem through the years, and it's the kind of thing that can turn into cancer. And I've been worried sick about him. I've been kidding him. But I've been worried sick about him. He had tests this last week or so ago, and I'd ask him every day nearly, have you got the test in? Have you got the test in? I've been praying for him and worried sick about him. We were walking the hall the other day, and I said, Brother Roy, have you got the test results? He said, yes, we finally got them in. I said, what'd you find out? He said, all the tests are negative. I'm okay. I couldn't help but reach out and hug him. I know your burdens. I know your heartaches. But let me testify tonight as a 68-year-old man, been preaching for 47, pastoring 47 years. This October 24th, I will finish my 50th year as a gospel preacher. Let me testify tonight that down inside every burden, there's a blessing if you just will begin and won't quit. Just begin and don't quit. Because down inside every single burden of your life, there's a blessing. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But the honor of kings is to find out where it is. Wise men keep searching. Wise men keep on going. And the battles come, but there's a blessing out there. And you get knocked down, and you want it, but there's a blessing out there. And heartaches come, and you want to, your heart's broken, but there's a blessing out there. Hey, keep on going. Don't suffer for a little while for nothing. Suffer for a long while for something. Inside the burden, God's concealed a blessing. You say, why didn't God just put it up there on the top of the ground where I could grab it and run? Because the greatest blessing of all is, when you get 68, you'll know it, is to get 68 years old and look back and see those three men back there at that first church and see their faces on the front row. And remember that meeting where the Southern Baptist said, you've got to support our schools or you'll have to leave the convention. And I lost my friends of a lifetime. And to see coming up north and to receive the battle we fought when we first got here, we pulled out of the American Baptist Convention and look back and see all those battles and all those heartaches and all those tears. Forgive me, but it's a little bit of a blessing to say I didn't quit. You'll never, never, never know victory till you've known a battle. And you'll never win until you fought. And God says, I want you to have a double blessing. The special blessing that I have for you down inside, that burden and that heartache. And then I want you to have the blessing of knowing that you made it through the burden and through the heartache. Tonight, some of you folks have never begun. Begin. And some of you folks who have begun have thought about quitting. The great secret to success. Begin. And don't quit. And along the road of not quitting, there'll be heartaches and problems and burdens. But down inside every one of them, there's a blessing. Just keep on going until you dig it out. What a life. What a Savior. He's watching me tonight. His eyes are on me. Okay. Folks call me a nut. Folks think I'm a fanatic. Fellow said he's a cult leader. You know what you are? You're a cultist. We're going to Guyana tomorrow. Or Waco. We're going to have a cookout. And after that, we're going to drink some Kool-Aid. Wash it down. Brother, it doesn't matter what they think. As long as when I've given my best, my coach says, nice block, Jack. Our Heavenly Father.